I've entitled this morning's message, Strong Connection. I don't know about you, but I get very frustrated when I get on my computer, especially at the weekend, like Friday night was a good example, and all I want to do is just get a few emails through and tap, tap, tapperoo on the old keyboard there, and no connection. No connection. There's nothing wrong with the computer, it's just that the line is so busy that there's no connection. And then when the connection finally comes, it comes for a few minutes and then disappears again. I don't know about you, but I find that that's one of my frustrations that I currently face, is a poor connection. Anyone else have that problem? Yeah. Perhaps you've got a great line where you are, or you've got a fantastic computer, but you know, having a strong connection is the key to everything, isn't it? And you think there's other things in life where we need a good connection on your mobile phone. You know, sometimes I'm ringing someone with my earpiece in, or someone has rung me, and I'm talking to them, and suddenly they're not there. And I carry on this conversation and think, am I talking to myself? Yes, for the last 3 minutes. And find that the connection has been lost. A strong connection is what God wants us to have. Strong connection. And we can understand it, computers, mobile phones. They've all got this ability to transmit and receive, haven't they? And your spirit, where the Lord Jesus is, where he lives, where the Holy Spirit lives, the Spirit of Jesus lives, when you got born again, you were made alive and you were put online. You were connected to heaven. You were connected with the Lord. And your connection, God views your connection as being very, very important. And in my own experience, I've found that sometimes my connection dips. Sometimes I lose my connection. Sometimes my connection is a bit weak. Other times it can be really strong. And what God is saying to us is, as believers, which is what we are, we have the ability to have permanent connection. And the problem isn't at the other end. You know, sometimes I think, well, obviously the problem must be at the other end. But the problem is actually at my end. And God wants us to have a very, very strong connection. Everything is there waiting for us to connect to. But God wants to increase our ability to know the Lord, to hear his voice, to hear him speak to us, to read his word and spend time in there in prayer so that our connection is strong. Anyone want a strong connection? Yeah. Anyone want a stronger connection? Like I'm never satisfied. I want more of God. I want more of his spirit. And I want that stronger connection so that there's a greater release of his power. You know, BT are constantly advertising faster connections, faster speeds, greater memory. Well, that's the kind of thing that God has provided for us in the Holy Spirit. He's given us the ability to have a far greater wealth of information, revelation, that he wants us to receive. But it's actually, the problem is down at our end. And it's to do with our connection. I just want to talk about connection this morning because as we're going through Matthew's Gospel, it's all about strong connection. I mean, when you read about Jesus and the things that he did, wow, what an incredible connection he had. That at a moment he would turn and go another way. Sometimes people thought he was being rude because he didn't care about them, but he did care about them, but he cared about what the Father wanted him to do right there and then. Sometimes people got offended because they misread him or misunderstood some of the things that he said, but he had a very, very strong connection. And with that strong connection, he was able to release the power of heaven, the power of the kingdom of heaven immediately, sometimes through his hands, sometimes just through a word that was spoken, sometimes by pointing a finger, demons would come out of people. That's power, isn't it? That's a strong connection. Sometimes you just speak a word and it was done. Maybe, you know, many, many miles away, it was released. Why? Because he had a strong connection from heaven to know that was exactly what the Father wanted. Jesus had an incredibly strong connection, and that's why we're reading Matthew's Gospel. He's hopefully to encourage you and to encourage me that we can actually live the same way if we'll get the strong connection. And you'll read every now and again, you'll read, and he went away. And he got up early, and he went here, and he went there, and in those quiet moments when Jesus had to sort of make the most of them, sometimes they weren't that long either, he downloaded fresh revelation from the Father. That revelation is, if you like, computer-wise, that's memory, that's to do with speed, that's to do with ability. And God has so much he wants to download into our hearts and lives right now, today. He wants us to receive so much more. And one of the things that the disciples were constantly confronted with Jesus, was their thinking. And you imagine walking with Jesus. I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what adventure we're going to face. I wonder what obstacles or what difficulties. I wonder what Jesus is going to drop us into today. It was like that when you were living with Jesus for those 3 years when the disciples were with him. And he basically taught them and trained them, not everything he knew, but he taught and trained them much in those 3 years, didn't he? And what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Anyone like to throw out a few ideas or a few thoughts? A follower. A learner. A dedicated follower. A servant. A doer. Someone who loves God. A student. An apprentice. That's a good one, yeah. Well, they're all good, but...
Christ-like.
Copycat. Interesting one. That's right. All of those things make up a disciple. And in the Greek, mathetes is the Greek word, and it's taken from the verb to learn. To learn. It means, and a disciple is a learner. And it's from the verb to learn. And you recognize the word math, where we get maths from, means thought with effort. So we're talking about a disciple is someone who is a learner, someone who is following, someone who is being taught. It means someone who is engaging their thought, their spirit, their thought, and putting it into action. That's what a disciple is. Someone who engages their thought with effort, thinking with action, with faith. So it's a whole embracing thing. A disciple is someone who engages their spirit with their mind, and then it produces action. Does this make sense? A disciple. The very word disciple tells us it has discipline attached to it. It means a commitment to do various things. And one of the things about a disciple is a disciple doesn't just follow teaching. The disciples follow the teacher, don't they? Now, in this room today, we're all disciples of Jesus. But I know that I've learnt by following sometimes a person who is following Jesus. Does that make sense? I've learnt from their teaching, but I've also learnt from their life, their example. That's what Jesus is getting at. And so if we're going to be effective disciples, that's how we need to be in this church. Starting with me and with us in leadership and you as well, is that we need to be discipled. We need to be following the Lord, of course, but we need to understand that we need to not just follow teaching, but we need to follow those that example the word. Don't follow people who don't example the word. We don't want to follow people that just bring a good teaching but don't live it. But we're talking about following the example of people who are following Jesus. Amen? Amen. This is a disciple, and God is wanting to up our discipleship. I mean, he really wants us to advance our discipleship this year so that we are making disciples. So people that we lead to the Lord, we have a responsibility to be an example to them. Even if we can only just lead them, even if we're just one step ahead, we've got something we can lead them into. Even for generations. I like that. Generations. I'm a disciple because my parents were disciples and their parents were disciples. So it is a generational, and some of our children are now really following Jesus. And they're all going to follow him. Amen. So discipleship, it's all about discipleship. And God wants us to be true disciples of his. And we have to have a strong connection if we're going to be true disciples. I meet a lot of believers, but I don't meet so many disciples. The church is full today of many believers, but the church is not full of many disciples. There is a difference. And we start our Christian life at becoming believers, don't we? We repent from our sins, we believe in Jesus, and we receive the gift of his salvation. And we're a believer on that day, we believe, and we're saved. But where we go with it will determine whether we really want to be disciples or not. And I can tell you right now, I could list you, I'm not going to, a whole load of people that we've led to the Lord and even invested time and prayer and word into their lives, but the reason they left was they did not want to follow Jesus and be a true disciple. That wouldn't be true for everyone, but that's true for quite a lot of people, because the cost, there's a cost in following Jesus. We were in good company because Jesus had the same issue with people. And he didn't spend his time chasing after them, probably how I would. He actually let them go, because he knew that they would, if they had it in their hearts, they would come back. He prayed for them, but he didn't chase after them. And today we're living in a day where God wants the church to make true disciples. So that we become a church of disciples. This is making sense. You know, a lot of people treat church like a cafeteria. They come to church and they, you know, when you go to a cafeteria, if you go to a good cafeteria, you get such a choice. There's no way you're going to take everything. You've got a choice of what you drink, what you eat. You get a choice of, you know, dessert and first course and middle course and after course and everything else. And many believers treat the church that way, and then they're not true disciples, because they take what they want and they leave the rest. Does that make sense? They think the church is for them, but no, they are there. We are here for the church. We're here for the Lord. We're here for his kingdom. And so we hit a problem today, particularly in our society today, that God wants to change the mindset of Christians. Yeah. He wants to change our mindset so we have a new way of thinking. And to maintain a strong connection with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, we really need to have our minds renewed. Are you with me?
Yes.
We need to really see that we're here for the church isn't here for me. I'm here for the church. You're here to serve the church. And we mustn't treat the church like a cafeteria. Well, I have this bit, I won't have that bit. I'll go to this, but I won't go to that. I want this, but I don't want that. All right? No, we want it all. We want to be given to all, the whole work, so that God's kingdom can come. Total dedication, 100%. And this was why Jesus worked with the disciples for 3 years. He invested his life into them. And at the end of those 3 years, if you look at them, they're still a bunch of rabbles, really. They're a rabble bunch. They still haven't got all their act together, but something has happened to them. And when the Holy Spirit comes, everything is downloaded and starts being released on that day of Pentecost. And they then repeat the whole process of preaching the gospel, of releasing the power of the kingdom, and of then bringing people to Christ, and then leading them, teaching them how to be disciples themselves. And so there's a whole fruitful season that comes. And we read about in the book of Acts, don't we, how that they then made disciples, didn't they? Yeah. I'm going to ask Scotty. Scotty's going to read a scripture this morning. Where's Torsten? Come up and just read these couple of scriptures, because these scriptures talk about, they're talking about discipleship. So can we have this on the other mic, Sam? This is Mark's Gospel in chapter 16, I think it is. Oh, he's got Mark. You've got Matthew. Let's have the Mark first, shall we? Mark first. Mark 16, 15 to 20.
He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved.
Amen.
But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well."
Amen.
After the Lord Jesus has spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Amen. Thanks, Torsten. That's great. Thank you. And then we got, just to say about that, just briefly, is that that's the commission to go and preach the gospel, isn't it? That commission is for us. It's not just for one or two people, it's for all of us. God wants us to go out into every part. You know, we're not all called to go to every country, but we're called to go into the world and to preach the gospel, the good news, and these signs will follow those who believe. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the kingdom that God has entrusted to you and me. And we've got it in here this morning. It's all in there. If you've received Jesus and received the power of the Holy Spirit, then you've got everything that you need. Amen. What you've got to do is keep a strong connection to start releasing it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's listen to Matthew 28:18-20.
Yeah. Excuse me. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
Thanks, Scotty. Wow. Amen. That's the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. There's two things. There's the preaching of the gospel to all creation, and then the second part that goes with it, if you like, that Matthew brings out, is that we're to go and make disciples. So we can't have one without the other. You have to preach the gospel, but it's not just preaching the gospel, it's make disciples. So the Lord is wanting us to really focus on this in our church life, that God wants us to preach the gospel and make disciples. Preach the gospel, make disciples. Preach the gospel, make disciples. Amen? That's his will. That's what he wants us to do. Preach the gospel and make disciples. And Jesus will be our greatest example of how to do that. If we see what he did, we'll understand that's what we've got to do. So you share your life with somebody else. You share your life with a group of people. You put in your life and what you've learned. You teach them the word of God and put it into practice. You know, with Jesus, well, one of the things that they said, that this was the religious leaders of his day, they said, what manner of doctrine is this? What were they talking about? Were they talking about his teaching? Well, they were partly, but it was a lot more than that. What they were talking about was, they said, what manner of doctrine is this that this man Jesus is carrying on with? What they were talking about was the fact, not just his teaching, but the power, the authority that he had, and what was coming out of his life that produced the miracles. So whenever you read that, it's not just about teaching, not just teaching the word, although Jesus was doing that, but the word and the life that were flowing out of him. They said, what manner of doctrine is this? We don't have this. The scribes and the Pharisees, they knew the Bible back to front. They knew the Old Testament inside out. They knew it, some of them knew it off by heart. But what Jesus was doing was he was showing, this is the word of God and this is how it comes out of your life. Strong connection. So the scribes and the Pharisees had no strong connection with God. They just had a strong connection with the word of God, but they didn't have a strong connection with God. And God is saying to us, I want you to be strong believers and disciples who will actually release the power of the Holy Spirit through your lives, in your families, in your workplace, in your communities, and wherever we go. Amen? It's powerful. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. And this is what you'll be looking at this week. But I'm just going to pull out just a couple of things out of this gospel chapter this week, Matthew 10, verse 1. And it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them what? He gave them authority. Some of your versions might say power. But the correct word really, I mean, it releases power, but the correct word is authority. Jesus called his 12 disciples and he gave them authority. And what was the authority for? It was over unclean spirits. You know, recently the Lord said to me, you're going to see a whole new level of authority come through. For you, for me personally, but for us as a church, we're going to have to deal with these demonic things that sometimes oppress people, that are strongholds in people's lives, both sometimes with believers, but also with unsaved people. You need to know the authority I've given to you. And don't be intimidated by the devil, right? Just confront those powers of darkness, demonic spirits. That's all they are. They have no power once they meet the authority of Jesus. And it says that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. Any evil spirit is an unclean spirit. and over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness.
Amen.
All kinds of sickness, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. That's the power, that's the authority that Jesus has given each one of us in this room this morning.
Hallelujah.
Now, the reason we don't see those things that perhaps we see them in vision, perhaps we see them, the reason we don't see them at the level that we should is because of, is to do with our connection.
Yeah.
Really is.
Uh-oh.
It's to do with our having a strong or a stronger connection. Amen. The stronger the connection, the quicker the download, the quicker the release of power.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And when you have a group of people called a church, that's what the church is, it's a group of called out people called for his purpose. When the church comes together and you've got a group of people who have a strong connection, you really have got power, haven't you? You've got tremendous power that's being released into a town, into a village, into a city, into a region where you've got a church. That's why God wants the church, because the church is the body of Christ. And in his body, in his church, there is authority and power. And God wants the church to be raised up. That's why we've got Apostle Benjamin coming on that weekend. It's just one event, but it's an important event because we want to see God moving amongst the churches in this town, don't we?
Yes.
And we want that stronger connection of the Spirit to come, even amongst the churches, amongst the church leaders in this town. Amen? Strong connection releases the power of God. And let's look at verse 20. Go to verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. God wants us to be like Jesus, doesn't he? He wants there to be such great examples in this church that you can immediately think of a lot of people in this church that really are like Jesus and are able then to disciple others into his likeness by how they live, how they speak, how they conduct their lives, that we become examples to others. And so that we produce, in this church, we produce true disciples of Jesus.
Amen.
God wants to fill us with a vision of this. God wants to give us a revelation that God hasn't just called us to preach the gospel. He's called us to do that, all right. But he's called us to actually call people to Christ and then lead them, teach them the word of God, share our lives, invest our lives into their lives. You know, even if you was to invest your life into one other person for the next 2 years in a very specific way, remember Jesus did it for 3 years and then he released them. Did they still need to be discipled? Yes, they did. But they came to a point where they were entrusted to do a whole lot more now when Jesus left them and he left them the Holy Spirit. And so that's how discipleship is. It's not having someone ruling over you. It's someone leading you and being an example to you to release you into what God's called you to be and to do, isn't it? And the Lord wants us to be the same way and to have many disciples in this church who are following Jesus and who are released into doing what God called them to do, released into their gifts and their call. Hallelujah. Look at verse 37. And to 39, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will what?
Find it
or gain it. This is a discipleship message. That Jesus wants us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. There's another scripture that says that just says this in a slightly different way. It says that we're to deny ourselves daily, pick up the cross. That's talking about picking up God's will for us that day. Picking up God's cross, that's talking about carrying God's will in our life. That will cross out what I want to do and do what he wants me to do. Does that make sense? That's what the cross is all about. It's actually putting to death daily what I want to do.
Amen.
And putting into being what God wants to do.
Amen.
It's putting to death what I think and bringing to life what God thinks.
Amen.
It's putting off the things of the flesh or just the natural things that natural desires, and sometimes they're wrong things as well, that putting those things off and saying, no, I'm going to choose to do what God wants me to do today. Amen. And putting him first. And Jesus says, this is the walk of a disciple. It's someone who denies themselves. So if we're living in that kind of way and following Jesus, what we will experience is we'll experience a release of the resurrection power life of Jesus Christ in our lives. And in the Amplified Bible, I'm just going to read this out, verse 37. It says, "He who loves me and takes more pleasure in father or mother more than in me is not worthy of me. And he who loves and takes more pleasure in son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Jesus' words are very strong. And he says, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow me," that means to cleave steadfastly to me, conforming wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also, is not worthy of me. Wow. That's his word to us. "Whoever finds his lower life," that's his self life, his soul life, "will lose it. And whoever loses his self life or his lower life, his self life, on my account will find the higher life." I like that. Whoever loses his selfish life, his soul life, his self life, whoever loses it, puts it to death each day, moment by moment, saying, "No, I'm not gonna go with that way, I'm gonna go this way." Whoever denies his self life, the lower life, will actually have a release of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's life within him. And so the Holy Spirit's life within him will release the life and power of Jesus on the inside of you, so it begins to flow out of you. So what we actually, when we deny ourselves, we actually get a greater release of Jesus in our life. That's how it works. Every time that we deny what I want to do but put what God wants to do, there's a release of resurrection life. That's how you can tell disciples. That's how you can tell a disciple. It's someone who's denying what they want to do and they're actually putting forward what God wants to do. And you actually see in their life there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a love, there's a freedom, there's a liberty that God is releasing because they're learning to put this into practice. This is how Jesus lived every day. Do you think he always wanted to get up early in the morning? No. Do you think he always wanted to go and cast out demons or to spend all the hours of ministry he did? No. Of course, his self-life didn't, but he constantly denied his self-life and made room for the Spirit life. And that higher life, that life of the Holy Spirit in him, began to well up within him. And he got into a place where he was constantly living in the river of the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants for you and me. And our battle, my brothers and sisters, our battle is to do with our minds. Just turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We've all heard the saying, haven't we? Mind over matter. Well, it's a little bit more than that. It's spirit over matter. That's the thing. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17... I'll just read it straight through. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, unsaved people walk, in the futility of their mind." They're living in futile thinking. Their minds are closed off to God. Therefore, they're living in their own minds. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And now verse 18. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you," that's our past life, "but you have not so learnt Christ. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off you. Just turn to someone and say, "Put off you." If you imagine this coat this morning, imagine this coat represents the old life. Right? And what we do sometimes, we get into old thinking and we put on, in fact, it would be a rotten old coat, really, not a nice leather one, but we put on the old thinking. We've got old things beginning that Satan is trying to put within us, put back on us, and somehow we take things back on board in our thinking, in our hearts, in our minds. And what the word says is put off. So in other words, when you have something that's trying to be put on you, don't wear it. In fact, put it off. Put it off. It means to cast it off. Cast it to the ground. Put it off that old way of thinking, that old reaction, that old attitude, that old way of doing things. Put it off, because it leads to nowhere. It's death. But Jesus says, because I'm living in you and you're a disciple, you can put on the new. So it says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old way you used to do things. You don't have to live that way any longer. You don't have to think that way any longer. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it says here that the old nature, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful desires, now be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that means in our thinking, in the spirit of our mind, God wants to release us in our spirit to constantly think about the truth and to have our minds renewed by the truth of what God says, by the truth of his word, and by the truth of what he thinks. Does it make sense? And as we allow and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to live this way, we'll get into the practice of putting off the old, putting off dead things, putting off wrong thinking, and of being renewed in our minds, and of putting on, it says, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So there is something that we are to put on. We're to put on, right, the new man, like putting on a new coat. Put on the new man. And it's talking about clothing your mind and clothing your spirit, being filled afresh with the truth of God. Is this making sense? I've found over the years, if I think how I used to think, even 10 years, I think totally different today than I did 10 years ago. Hallelujah. If I go back another 20 years or 30 years, totally different. So there's been a progression where my mind has been renewed, and it's an ongoing work. And the way that we get strong connection with God is we must renew our minds daily. To keep a strong connection, if you put into practice the things that we've spoken about this morning about discipleship, of taking up the cross, that means praying to God and seeking to do his will each day, each moment that we find ourselves in, denying yourself and putting him first, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel with others, releasing the healing power of God. And as we seek to do his will each day and put the old things off, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We have to have our minds renewed by the Holy Spirit, by his truth, through the word of God. And as we put into practice, that means remembering what God has to say. God has something to say about every situation we find ourselves in. God has something to say, doesn't he? And so when you find yourself in a difficult situation where you're fighting something, you're unsure about something, you're getting into something you shouldn't be, what does God have to say about it? What's God's word for you? And start meditating upon that truth of that word for you right there and then. Find a scripture, find the truth of what God has to say about it. And start meditating, renew your mind with the truth. So this is an exercise that we all need to be doing. Never mind about keeping fit, right? There's a place for keeping our bodies in trim, but we need to keep our minds, we need to keep our spirits in trim. And the way that we do it is it's a daily exercise of putting off the old, being renewed in the spirit of our mind with the truth, and putting on the new. And it doesn't happen in 3 minutes. It happens over constantly doing it. You fill your life with the truth. And when you do that, there's a very powerful connection that God will release through your life to bless others. Does this make sense? Jesus wants our connection to be strong, doesn't he? He wants to have a strong connection. And in that strong connection, he's going to make disciples. He's going to make us more effective and fruitful disciples by having our minds renewed, by dealing with what do they call it? Stinking thinking, is it? Wrong thinking, stinking thinking. Thinking that opposes what God wants. And I don't know if you're struggling this morning. Some of you perhaps are struggling with things, but God wants you to have a renewed mind. He wants to, by the Holy Spirit, renew you with the truth. He wants you to know that he's done everything there is to do for you. There's nothing wrong at his end, right? It's a great connection there. He's got everything waiting and ready to download into your life so that you can be free and that you can release, you can be a channel for all that information, all that revelation of who he is to come out of your life. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Well, it is. It is. We have overcomplicated the gospel. The gospel is very simple. The gospel is very simple. We simply believe God's word and we receive from the Holy Spirit his anointing, his power, and let him work it within us. and put it into practice, that's where we go wrong. We don't put it into practice, but put it into practice daily, moment by moment. Take up that cross. Say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Your will be done. I'm here for you. I'm not here for me. I'm not here. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve your church. I'm here to serve your kingdom. Lord, renew my mind. Make me new in my thinking. Teach me how to put off the old every day. And as we deny self, as we put off the old and confess the truth of God's word, that's what God wants us to do. Confess the truth of his word, live in the truth of his word, we'll find there's a release of the resurrection life and power of God. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the last few weeks, as we've been praying, different prayer meetings and in my own time with God, I just had this incredible sense of the bigness and the greatness of God. I just had this incredible sense of his grace, of his love for us, of his mercy for us, that it's all there waiting. God doesn't hold things against us. He's not like us, how we are sometimes, old grudges. And God is so big. He's wanting to pour out his spirit. He wants to lavish on us his grace and power in such a way that we have a new experience of him. We have a new revelation of him. We have a new walk with him. Amen. The Lord is for us. He wants to encourage this morning. He wants us to live like Jesus did. Jesus was the most free person that's ever lived on this earth. He was free in spirit and he was free in his mind.
Amen.
He was constantly renewing his mind with the truth. And so he didn't allow the enemy any inroads in his life because of it. But we've got to put off daily all those different things that try and come onto our lives. Put them off, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and then put on the new and live out of the new. Got it in there, you got it in your spirit. Put on the new and live out of it. And let's have renewed minds. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you today, Lord. Thank you, Father.